Well, welcome to our new series called Fear Not. We all have fears, things that make us afraid. Every time I see a spider, I nearly jump out of my skin. I'm sure you have some fears as well. We all do. According to the most recent survey of fear in America, what we're most afraid of are corrupt government officials, nuclear annihilation, and complete economic collapse. Other common fears include our loved ones getting sick and dying and not having enough money for the future. There is no shortage of opportunities for us to be fearful. But with faith, we do not have to be afraid. In the scripture, God says, "Fear not, I am with you. Be not dismayed, I am your God." Those are comforting words. But even with those assurances, it's easy to become afraid in our uncertain and sometimes dangerous world. So in this series, we're looking at how to manage fear through faith. And today I want to talk with you about one of the most common fears that we all have to face, the fear of change. Most people do not like change. When circumstances take an unexpected turn, it can make us feel out of sorts, upset, and we can feel unsettled. I'm a person that loves routine. I'm that kind of person. I love routine. I wake up at the same time every day. I do the same thing every morning. I talk to God for a little while. I like to go outside and go for a run on certain days and go to the gym on other days. They're always the same days. I eat the same breakfast every day at the same time. My whole day is like that. My work also takes on a familiar pattern. On Mondays, I meet with staff members individually. Tuesdays, I write my homilies. Wednesdays are packed with other kinds of meetings. On Thursdays, I like to go over to the school for a while. Fridays are dedicated to memorizing and rehearsing my homilies for the weekend. Saturdays are about getting ready for Sunday. And Sunday, of course, is my Super Bowl. I love the routine. I love my schedule. I love when things stay the same week after week. I am a very predictable person, and my guess is you are too. And that's because structure comforts us. Familiar habits make us feel safe. In the scripture, God rescued the Israelites from slavery in Egypt. Through Moses, he led them out into the desert and was with them day after day. But soon they started grumbling and complaining. They missed the food in Egypt. They wanted their old lives back, even lives as slaves. At several points in the journey, they were tempted to turn back rather than continue to face the unknown. When they reached the edge of the promised land, they sent out spies to see if they could conquer the territory. The report came back, "No, the people who lived there were too big, too strong, too powerful." So they said to one another, "Let us appoint a leader and go back to Egypt." Change is frightening. It's scary when the apple cart of our lives is suddenly overturned. But God is always on the move. And sometimes God asks us to make big moves as well. He told Noah to go into the ark to save himself and his family from the great flood. He instructed Abraham to go to a strange new land and leave his family behind. He commanded Moses to go and tell the Israelite leaders that God had not forgotten about them. He said to the young prophet Jeremiah, "You shall go, and whatever I command you, you shall speak it." Jesus said to the apostles, "Go into the whole world and proclaim the gospel to every creature." He told me, "Go to the seminary." There is a time for rest, a season to be still in God, moments to enjoy the stability and peace of the good life that God has given us. Even God himself rested on the seventh day of creation. But when things turned sour, God got back to work. He started making big moves. And every day, God is working to recreate and sustain us in his love. He is always trying to move us forward to a better place and time. But to get us to that point sometimes means that things have to change. The people disobeyed God for hundreds of years after he established them on the land. Their kings practiced corruption. The wealthy defrauded the innocent and robbed the poor. Priests encouraged idolatry. The people rebelled and they committed crimes against one another. Because of this, their civilization declined. And at one point, they came to the worst possible situation. They found themselves in the worst possible situation. Their land had been conquered, their nation seized, their temple destroyed, their people exiled to a foreign land. Everything about their lives had changed. They were experiencing tremendous loss. But at their worst moment, God raised up a courageous prophet named Ezekiel. Ezekiel encouraged the people with many images of a bright future. One day, he said, the people would be restored to the land. One day, water would flow from the temple. One day, dry bones would come to life again. And one day, Ezekiel said in the first reading, God would take a tiny twig from the top of a majestic cedar tree and plant it on a high and lofty mountain. And that tiny torn-off twig would eventually grow into a towering tree of its own, majestic and strong. The people did not like the change they were going through. They longed for the familiar. They missed the comforts of home. They were brokenhearted. But that tiny twig that God tore off and replanted was his promise that one day he would send a Messiah, a mighty king in the line of David, who would come and restore the people to their former glory. What's interesting is that their salvation would not come from the original tree from which the twig was torn off. No, the new Messiah, that king, would come from the new kingdom that sprouted from the twig that was planted at the top of that high and lofty mountain. The old tree would not continue to grow as it had in the past. That tree represented the line of kings that came after David. But God was promising something new, a new tree with new branches in a new location. And that tree would come from a tiny torn-off twig that one day would grow into a towering cedar and would be the symbol of God's mighty new kingdom. We all face changes that make us afraid. The doctor delivers a disturbing diagnosis. There's a long road of recovery ahead. Your child or grandchild is having trouble in school, cheating or fighting. You have to find a new school. Your company moves. You either uproot your entire family or find another job. Your small business is suffering and struggling. You might be forced into bankruptcy. A parent passes away. The arrangements have to be made. The estate has to be managed. Or you're growing older and soon you're going to have to think about transitioning into assisted living. It's tempting to become fearful, even bitter, over the changes that we have to face. It feels like we're being uprooted, displaced from our source of security, and relocated to unfamiliar ground. But what if you knew? What if you knew that God was about to plant you in new soil that was richer and even more fertile? What if you knew that you were about to experience abundance and new growth and new life and new levels and new increase like you had never seen before? What if you knew that you were not being torn off to die, you were being torn off to tower, cut down to be lifted up, pruned away from the tree so that you could produce even more fruit? When you're afraid of the circumstances, the changes that you're looking at in your life, take a closer look at what God is doing. He is moving you to a higher mountain, a loftier place where you can sink new roots, more powerful roots, and thrive like never before. Years ago, a friend of mine in Atlanta, who was the father at that time of 5 young children, lost his job. He worked in a field that was sensitive to economic downturns, and he was laid off. He applied everywhere, tried everything, followed every lead, but for a very, very long time, he never even got an interview. Every bite he got away. This lasted for years. For years, he had to go on unemployment benefits. His wife had to find a job despite the 5 young children at home. They had to dip substantially into their savings. They thought they were going to lose their house. My friend had a few private clients, but it wasn't enough to make ends meet. They were barely scraping by. Every day was a struggle for years. How is he going to send his kids to college, 5 of them? How is he going to even feed his family if the situation didn't finally change? But my friend trusted God and knew that in his time, he was moving him to new ground, to higher levels, to better things. One day, he landed his dream job. He now travels the world for his new company. And he just sent me a picture and a text from South Africa just to make me jealous. It worked. But today, everything is better. His kids are grown up. They got through college, all of them. They're married. Many of them are married. He's the proud grandfather today. Many people looked at my friend and thought he was being cut off permanently, being ripped away from his source of comfort forever, a twig removed from the security of the mighty cedar tree. But people didn't see what God was doing underneath the surface. He was getting ready to cause the growth. They didn't see that my friend was being torn away, ripped away, so that he could tower, cut down so that he could be lifted up again, pruned away so that he could be replanted in a new, more perfect meadow. Change is difficult, to say the least. It's uncomfortable. It can even be frightening. But God uses change to move us to higher places, better land, and greater abundance. The problem is the in-between time, the transition when you don't know what's happening or why it's happening. You don't feel like you belong either place, the old place or the new place. You may not even know where the new place is. You feel small, insignificant, like you don't belong. You're overlooked, ignored. Why am I here, God? But think about that mighty new kingdom that God formed out of the tiny twig ripped off from that majestic cedar. That new kingdom began like a tiny mustard seed, Jesus said in the gospel today. A tiny mustard seed that no one cared about, no one noticed. It was overlooked, forgotten. The whole mighty kingdom that we know today began with just an itinerant rabbi that nobody had ever heard of and a few band of followers. But that mustard seed, Jesus said in the gospel, once it is sown, sprouts and becomes the largest of all plants and puts forth large branches that all the birds of the sky can dwell in its shade. He also speaks about a farmer who scatters tiny little seeds everywhere. He scatters them everywhere because he doesn't know whether or when they're going to grow. He goes to bed and he wakes up day after day, and the scripture says that the seed would sprout and grow, but the farmer did not know how. That's because it is God who causes the growth. God brings about the growth. God is the one who makes it happen. And so when you're experiencing these kind of fearful changes in your life, You're not sure where you're going. You don't feel like you belong anywhere. You feel like a tiny little seed being carried in the wind. You don't know what's going on. Remember, you're not the one in control. You can't force it. You can't stop it. You can't rush it. It's up to God. Being replanted is never easy. I've been replanted many times in my life. It's hard. You don't know where the wind is going to carry you. You're not sure where you're going to land. You're uncertain of how the growth and the abundance is going to happen. But Jesus also once said, unless a grain of wheat falls to the ground, is buried and dies and is buried and is planted in the ground, it remains just a grain of wheat. But if it dies because it is planted in the ground, then it produces much fruit. If you're going through a season of change, you're feeling fearful about the future, remember, God is on the throne. He's the one in control. And he is trustworthy. He's going to bring you through that change to better places, higher places, a loftier mountain where you can grow in abundance and see new life and new levels and promotion in every way. He's not going to let you drop in while you're being carried to that new place. He's not going to allow the wind to carry you willy-nilly wherever it happens to go. He's not tearing you off so that you can wither and die. You're being torn off to tower, pruned to prosper, severed to succeed. Don't forget who the farmer really is. He can do anything for you. As Scripture says, no eye has seen, no ear has heard, no mind has imagined what God has prepared for those who love him. God bless you.